This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX 305. Happy Wednesday to you. Going to do a think tank here. We have our buddy Megan McBride. We have Kurt Barr, very timely, from St. Charles County. Kurt, you should get out of politics and go full-time beard growing. That is a hell of a beard you have there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's amazing. A handsome man. Well, you're in the news. Tell us about it. What's going on?
Oh, there's a number of things going on. So we had a irregularity with the poll pad. So those iPads that we use, whether you're St. Louis City, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, we all use the same iPad. And we had an issue with the file that we upload the night before the election, indicating anybody who absentee voted, you know, right before an election. And there was an issue with the download, and so it didn't fully download all of those records into the poll pads. Well, we had some election judges in my rural precinct who, I think they were just bored. They went and looked and said, "Oh, it doesn't show that that we've already voted. So would the iPad let us vote?" And so they checked, and the iPad would let them vote. And then they went so far as to then actually knowingly vote a second ballot, which is slightly—
to prove a point.
So what they told me was they wanted to make this— they wanted to highlight this to the point where I could not ignore it,
okay,
assuming that I would ignore the fact that my
sure
iPads weren't properly working to begin with.
Right.
And so then we looked into it. It took a while to figure it out. The craziest thing is it was a single record of a single voter whose ballot got returned to us as undeliverable. We updated that in our system, and somehow the coding of that one line got messed up, which then messed up the rest of the download. So about a third of our polling places had iPads that didn't have the full download, is in essence what happened. It affected roughly 300 voters. In this one rural area, it affected three. Those three happened to be the election judges working at that polling place. So they saw a problem that looked like it was a major problem when they saw the entirety of the problem. That then caused some concerns on top of all other election concerns as to whether or not, you know, is this issue a bigger issue? How impactful is this issue? Does this call into question the validity of the April election in general? And so 2 weeks ago at the county council meeting, the St. Charles County had an issue on the ballot. They were going to basically accept the election results because they put a tax issue on the ballot. It passed by 71%. And then there was concern. And so they tabled that issue and they requested that I attend on Monday's meeting to basically talk about this issue.
Like being called the principal's office.
Some thought it that way.
Okay. Didn't end up that way?
I felt that way, actually. So I thought I was going to explain to the county council this particular issue, how we had one record and how that affected the download, but overall didn't affect the outcome of the election. However, one particular councilman, who he and I haven't always agreed eye to eye on any issue, he took the opportunity to ask me, you know, multiple questions and then interrupt me while I was trying to answer those questions and then tell me that I wasn't answering questions and I wasn't being transparent, which made me feel great.
Mm. So now what?
So now the county council accepted the tax increase, which is fine. I had certified the election several weeks ago, mm-hmm, so that's done. Now the issue is my relationship with the county council and where we go forward. I sent them an email today basically saying, didn't appreciate the way I was treated, willing to work with you professionally, but if we're going to continue this conversation about this issue, then we need to have some ground rules because know, I'm happy to answer questions, but I'm not interested in being told I'm not being transparent and not answering questions because I can't answer the three questions being asked me at the same time while they're still pontificating.
See, I'm telling you, I've said this so many times, politics, especially today's politics, is like when I was a divorce attorney, that if the two of you are getting divorced and Kurt brings your child 10 minutes late, rather than going, hey, Kurt, come on, be respectful, be here at 6 p.m., not 6:10. But instead, you let's go to the judge and let's try to get all of his rights taken away. You just turn, you know, just mountains and molehills. And that sounds like what happened to you. Like, yeah, it's an issue. We'll learn from this teachable moment. Everything's going to be better next time. But someone wanted to turn it into politics and put you on the cross. And there you go.
And there you go. And unfortunately, the majority of my county council are upstanding, reasonable people. But we do have a particular councilman who does like to grandstand. And unfortunately, it colors the tone and the debate for everybody.
We're never going to get away from that, are we, Megan?
No, I don't think so. In this case, particularly, it's so frustrating to hear these stories, especially when on the right, it's constantly talking about election fraud, and no one wants to just sit down. When you're dealing with this much data, these many numbers, there's going to be discrepancies, and you're dealing with people, right? People mm-hmm. are flawed. They're going to make mistakes. Maybe bad judgment, as it sounds like some of your poll workers did, but other times it's not intentional, but you're dealing with technology and you're dealing with people. There are going to be undesirable outcomes, and you have to deal with those, look at them, and then figure out how to fix them, because the other alternative is doing everything on paper. And nobody likes waiting for your office, right, to have to hand count every single paper ballot to ensure there's no technology glitch. This whole idea of election fraud has just gotten so blown up because it was a powerful talking point for one person for a very long time because his ego would not allow him to be wrong, right? Like, Donald Trump made election fraud, in my opinion, a way bigger thing than it ever was. It was always kind of on the fringes. And now it's like, the immediate jump to in a county council meeting is this, you know, deep conspiracy to overthrow the will of the voter. It's ridiculous, and it just is lacking common sense.
So all things being equal, if one of your candidates who you represent lost an election and said, Megan, I'm going to take one from Trump's playbook, let's say that the election was stolen, your gut reaction is what?
Do not do that. Be like a decent loser. Now, there are cases, obviously, mm-hmm. where within certain percentages or you are getting reports of legitimate throughout the day people being turned away when they have been cleaned from a roll. You know, if you have a really decent set of facts that show you something maybe was off here, which to me is different than voter fraud, right? Than people voting multiple times. But there was maybe a logistical breakdown in the process at a polling place, or you see some irregularities through consistently, then that's one thing you say, hold on, let's all take a deep breath. Let's look into this. Let's contact your election authority directors, who are great people to work with in the city and county. You have a Republican and a Democrat to work with. Excellent people. They want to be helpful. They want the process to work really well. So there is a way to go about trying to solve issues that's not just, you know, grandstanding, yelling, getting media attention for yourself, trying to have a political talking point for yourself down the road. That's just not helpful, and you're not going to solve any problems.
Do you guys think that we are using the tip of the spear, optimal technology for voting locally and nationally? Or I've always thought, like, there has to be an app. We all have phones, and we just go, boop, Biden, boop, Trump. But okay, here's my question. To what degree does the public trust hold us back from using the best technology, if that makes sense?
I'll say from my opinion, I do know Missouri recently got a lot of updates to our machines, correct? Like, we're all kind of on the same level now statewide that we yes. have new machines. So we're kind of getting there. As far as public trust is concerned, I vote on a paper ballot because I don't want to. I want to know that I marked my marking. I watched it go into the box and there it is, right? Like, that is just my comfort level. I also like the act of going to vote. I enjoy it. I don't think I would feel as comfortable voting on my phone, me personally, because I get the Apple update all the time. Data breach, go change your passwords, all this. So I'm okay with not voting on a cell phone, but I think to make it more accessible, we should have a voting period, not one day. We should expand absentee voting. There are other things we can do to make voting easier for folks. It doesn't necessarily have to be voting on your phone in your pocket.
I think that Megan makes a good point that the surety that the audit, the election is audible with a paper ballot probably is tip of the spear. You know, having it where we fill out the bubbles, we put it in the machine's counting it, but we can do a human audit of it, I think is tip of spear in that regard. As far as these poll pads that we use, yeah, actually the St. Louis-based company KnowInc that programs these iPads is tip of the spear when it comes to checking in voters. As far as our state database with MCVR, it's a state database. It is not tip of the spear. It does its job, and then the Secretary of State's office is working on making it better. And so we're constantly seeing improvements, but it's, you know, it's an old system. But then as far as other technology, this concept of voting by phone, like the blockchain or whatnot, there is a small group of people that push that. But the issue is, well, I can do all my banking online. Why can't I do the voting? Well, the banking, it ties all your stuff to you. It knows it's you voting it. We want the secrecy of the ballot. And so if I tie a ballot to each individual voter, you really lose that secrecy. And so sometimes technology doesn't achieve what we really want.
Makes sense. Going to talk to Kurt and Megan after the break. More about politics. Welcome back, guys. 321 DGS. Megan McBride here from the Kelly Group and Kurt Barr from St. Charles Elections. So I'm going to give you guys a giant 30,000-foot question. And it's sort of just one of those, what the hell are we doing? 2022, I said this on the show yesterday, I'm going to say it again, it's 2022. I'm supposed to have a flying car, and I don't. And you know what else I don't have? Baby formula. Like, where and how did we lose the thread where the United States of America cannot feed its babies in 2022? And it's not just about baby formula. You get the analogy. It's kind of everything. Like, just talk to me. I know you're both on different sides of the aisle, but what happened that we now can't go to Walmart and buy baby formula for our babies?
You know, I was actually talking to my mom and aunt about this a little bit this morning because they were saying, you know, it's got to be terrifying for new parents who are reliant on formula. You go to the store and it's just empty and you've got no answers. You've got no sign of hope. No one can tell you anything. And I have to be honest, I'm obviously past that point with my daughter. She's 2.5. So I just didn't affect me. I haven't been paying a super close amount of attention to it. So I've heard, you know, that it was the one lab creates all the formula brands and that they had the one issue and that's what slowed it down. I don't know exactly what's caused this, but I think, you know, of course, everyone's going to say, oh, no surprise, you're the Democrat. There's a big issue happening. If the government cannot have some say on how we're making these types of things that people need to keep their children alive, right? Like, how are companies allowed to make all of their stuff at one place with no backup plan, no crisis response whenever the whole thing goes down and people cannot feed their children?
Okay, this is good.
I mean, what is that? How does that happen, right? We know that the FDA looks at what's in formula, right? We've heard before toxic chemicals are accidentally being put into the formula. There's certain things that I hear it from Republicans. Yes, the government probably doesn't need to be involved in that. Something as critical as feeding the infants of America should have some government oversight. We should know what's going on. We should have immediate answers. We should require companies to have backup plans. It's ridiculous that it's happening.
I'm going to call myself out because all the time I'm saying on and off the air, smaller government, our government's so terrible at everything. I don't want them touching anything. Let private enterprise do it, which is for me a very conservative talking point. And yet I'll bitch and say, like, hey, we can't get baby formula. What's the government going to do? That's very inconsistent.
We want the government to fix problems when we realize they're happening, but we don't want them to prevent them because then that's big government, right? So we have to decide, like, and, you know, we want them to be making social, cultural decisions, but we don't want just like some really basic safeguards of how we get access to one of the most important feeding options that we have for young parents. I mean, it just doesn't make any logical sense to me, which is, I think, why it's frustrating to watch this happen. This is an unnecessary situation to be in.
You want me to take the Republican side on this?
I would love it.
So the Republican free market side would say that what did the FDA do before this that only one place is manufacturing baby food? When the federal government creates barriers of entry as far as the red tape to be able to manufacture something as important as baby food becomes difficult, where the economies of scale of centralizing it into one location, or even smaller companies can't manufacture and follow all of that red tape, so they sell off to larger corporations so that things become more and more centralized. Is that the actual problem? So was it the federal government doing too much too earlier, causing the private sector to change and say, okay, well, we're going to sell this all off to one large corporation in one centralized location so they can handle all of the red tape and they can handle the economies of scale to actually be able to produce baby formula at an economic price that people can afford? But then you get to the point where now you have an issue where this one place can't produce. Now we've got a crisis. So the Republican side, the free market side, would be, you know, the government did too much early on, but now we're saying, well, the government fix it.
It's so true.
You know, my youngest is six. I honestly wasn't paying attention to the baby formula issue either. And so I don't know why this one issue is the problem it is today. But my Republican reaction would be, well, it's the FDA's fault because they regulate too soon.
But what a great case study. Like, you don't have to know what baby formula is. You can just say this is going on. And yesterday I did a whole rant about too much government. And today I'm basically doing a rant about where's the government.
Nothing to do with maybe whichever philosophy you have on the FDA involvement or whatever, but when I was in the market for baby formula, which was during COVID, you know, I started with one brand because I'm a little more picky and I wanted a certain thing and I was interested in a certain product. And each brand I would move to would inevitably be off the market, right? So I don't know also, is it becoming more and more expensive to produce baby formula? Is inflation happening? But I remember having a lot of frustration. Like, I would have one brand, 2 months, that's excellent. All of a sudden, they stopped making it. They're not in the baby formula business any longer, mm-hmm. right? And so you wonder if there's a level of just natural business happening where, you know, it's too expensive to make this and we're not going to be in this business anymore. Either way, whatever it is, you know, and whichever philosophy you take to look at it, it is a major problem. It is a crisis. And somebody does need to take politics out of it, take whatever out of it, and try to find a solution, because I can't imagine how scary it is hoping that you're running to every single schnooks in town and hoping that they'll have been a lucky store that got a shipment delivered. I mean, it's pretty wild to imagine.
Yeah. And for people who don't have babies, it's pretty easy, like all of us, to go, mm-hmm. oh, I don't even really know about that.
Can't you just buy milk? You know, how many people
wait until it's something you need. Mm-hmm. Whatever it happens mm-hmm. to be, like, the time's going to come when it's something in your life, and then you're probably going to do what I just did and say, where's the government? Why aren't they making sure that I can this and that? And then the next day you'll be bitching because the government does too much. There you go. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Megan. Thank you, Kurt. Really appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
334 DGS. Tomorrow is Charlie Brennan's last day on the air, and he'll be joining us live at 4 p.m. with Dave Murray, which is great because he and Dave are both obviously St. Louis broadcasting legends and Hall of Famers. That should be a lot of fun. That's at the top of the hour at 4. Right now we have Trish, who needs some rulings.
Yeah, I saw these three crazy stories that just were right up your guys' alley, that what I thought. So this one, this pastor is really getting a lot of heat because this video shows him proposing to his girlfriend at her father's funeral.
Was he doing the funeral?
That is unclear. Yes, he was. He was officiating the service, man. Reached out to the daughter to comfort her.
And he turned to the casket and asked for her hand?
As her deceased father lay in the casket just a few feet away, he got on his knee and popped the question. And obviously, people on social media have different reactions
to
this.
What did she say?
There's more than one reaction to this?
Well, yeah, because one person's like, it's sweet. Her father's still present, kind of as a symbolic gesture.
He's not even cold yet.
And I have this, you know, kind of asking for his permission in a way. I could see where some guy would think that would be romantic.
Here's the only way I'm okay with it. If before it all started, he used fishing line to tie around the dead guy's arm and then had someone lift it up.
Give the thumbs up.
Oh, my God.
Then you've earned this woman and her love.
I mean, Dad, if you're okay with this, don't say anything.
Plant a little like Bluetooth speaker in the casket.
Oh, my God. By the way, when he's gets down on one knee, she's like sobbing because
she's so happy.
Hello, her dad. No, before he gets on the knee,
so
she's sobbing. Yes, she said yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Well, she's probably a giant dork too. So.
Okay, so that's a no. Are we a no on that one?
Yeah, I'm a big no.
Hard no.
Okay, Spain just made a really significant leap over everyone regarding women's health, and they are expected to pass this resolution next week that gives women 3 days of menstrual leave per month. Now, this isn't, oh, I have a headache or, oh, I don't feel good. It's for women who really suffer really bad cramping. Sometimes they get fevers. There's a name for it.
Endometriosis?
No, it's called dysmenorrhea. And women who suffer severe pain also, which I think is really cool. So I didn't know this. Japan already does it. South Korea, Indonesia, Zambia, whichever way you say it. Spain's the first Western country. But what they're also going to do is take off the value added tax to tampons and sanitary napkins that are in the store. Great. Take off that extra thing that people want to price up and, you know, make money off of people over that. And they're also trying to give girls in school free access to those
things.
That's
very cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's all cool. Andrew, how long have you been waiting to weigh in on endometriosis?
Endometriosis.
He's like, say it, Trish.
I know this one.
I was like, this one, I think I know.
Endometriosis
he
for 500.
He could probably explain the other one, too.
Oh, he could say words.
Which one? The second one I had never heard
it's
of.
It's when they take your intestines out through your stomach.
To deliver the baby.
Through the tummy.
So imagine you're on a plane, and all of a sudden, the pilot passes out and you have zero flying experience, but you have to land the plane. This is on a Cessna, West Palm Beach. The pilot had a medical emergency. This passenger contacts air traffic control saying, I've got a serious issue here. My pilot has gone incoherent. I have no idea how to fly the airplane. What do you do? Jump out, cower in a corner, or try to land this plane.
I'm flying it.
I mean, you only have one choice.
Yeah.
Why is it my responsibility? Like, was there nobody else on the plane? Was it just this guy and the
yes,
pilot?
It's just you and the guy.
Oh, really?
It was a private flight.
It was a Cessna.
So
I don't know what that means.
It means a small plane.
Oh, you know all about endometriosis.
So the dispatcher asked Roger, what's your position? And the man said, I have no idea. I can see the coast of Florida in front of me, and I have no idea.
What's your position?
After they told him how to maintain the wing level, and the controller gave him instructions about flying, and he landed the plane.
He landed it really well, too.
He landed it. And everyone, you could, like, in the background could say, you could hear him say, oh, my God, great job. Like, he had no experience flying
Dude,
this plane.
We really thought you were going to die.
Was the pilot okay? Do we know?
Yeah, he was taken to a hospital. I think he's okay.
It's funny. So, no one cares about the pilot.
Yeah. No, it's like,
whatever.
The controller who was giving him instructions was also a flight instructor, which I'm sure helped.
Oh, that's cool.
But, I mean, I'm sorry. I would be, like, I would be in the corner sobbing. Like, we're dying, and that's the end of it.
I feel like I wouldn't even be able to figure out how to talk to air traffic control.
You'd forget how to speak.
I'd be like,
even
where's
what button.
Button?
Yeah, what button to push?
So, there's a game called Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Here we go.
And I was playing it, and
I
was in a small aircraft trying to take off from Lambert. I sat there for an hour flipping every switch trying to figure out how to turn the plane on because I couldn't figure out the instructions. And then as soon as I started to move, I flipped the plane upside down and crashed. So I don't think I would be
So
able.
You would not be the guy.
I don't think I'm landing that plane, to be honest.
I've had more success with flight simulators.
That's all I had.
Oh, can we give a shout out, Dave? It's a very important shout out to Sean and Sarah. They were married on the show 10 years ago today.
That's Remember cool. them well. Tell me this story.
They were big fans of the show and very active with the show. And they would, you know, we'd talk to them and they reached out and said, hey, we're going to get married. We'd love to do it on your show. I don't remember who married them. It wasn't like me or Tom or anything like that. It was very sweet. We took it very seriously.
That's cool.
And here they are. 10th anniversary.
Yeah, she put a picture. She tweeted a picture and tagged us. So it was cute. It was
super
them
cool
their-
people. Yeah, they've been to a bunch of my events. I have a ruling. I was watching one of my scary shows last night, and this lady lived almost literally in a cemetery, like probably 20 yards away from the headstones. And I grew up about 100 yards away from a cemetery, Wanda Cemetery, so I kind of know what that's like. Would you rather live right next to a cemetery or on the busiest street in town?
Cemetery.
Yeah, cemetery for
I don't
sure.
Because you know what? That just immediately puts Poltergeist in my brain where all the dead bodies come up out of the pool.
That was a movie.
Yeah. That's not Poltergeist.
I know.
Said Poltergeist in my brain.
My son is, it's not real. Yeah.
I know, but that's what I would be thinking the entire time.
I'm going cemetery. I don't want to live on the busiest street in town.
Andrew?
I lived in an actual.
Oh God!
Supposed-
Why did I say his name?
He's like, I live in a tomb.
I lived in a mausoleum for
you know
a while.
Yes, he's like that
Girl
Kristen Wiig character from SNL. You like Rachel
oh
says,
my
I have a cat.
God.
I have 10 cats. I am a cemetery.
I lived in a cemetery. I lived in a haunted mansion with Eddie Murphy.
I lived in Pearl Springs for a year. I've already done.
I lived there for 10 years.
How did it take 12 years to get to that?
I did a flight simulator. I flipped the plane upside down.
So I didn't say anything because I was like, if I get called on, I'm going to have to say I lived in an actual haunted shopping mall.
So Spain's doing something wonderful for women with their periods. Endometriosis.
Endometriosis.
I had that. It's inflammation of the lining of my uterus.
It hurt me more than anyone else.
They said I had the worst case ever. It caused my measles.
She said, no, I had measles. I'm standing by that one.
You did have measles.
I will die on the measles.
So I should have known back then. So there was one person in North America in the last 100 years who had measles. And there's a huge story about it. And then the next day, my assistant producer calls in. He can't come in because he has the measles.
It was January 2015. And the measles was, that was when the weird measles outbreak of 2015. And I had bumps and stuff all over my face and all over my body. I went to the ER at Alt Memorial. They diagnosed me with measles.
We need these hospital records.
And I was and I was out for
there
the,
was
like,
a spelling bee trophy in his Life Scout sash.
He was one of 159 measles cases in the United States that year.
So I come in and it's like my second or third day back from being out sick. And Jason Church, who was our news guy at the time, did a news report and he said we have a confirmed case of measles in Madison County. And we all looked at each other because I was like, I'm on the news. This is going to be me. And then he says, like, Bill Stinkwater from, you know, Peoria or whatever. And I was
then
like,
it started to fall apart because I'm like, dude, you would have been on the news if you really had measles. And he's like, well, they said it was some M word. And I'm like,
they said measles and they said they were going to send it away for the testing. And then they sent me home. And that was the last I ever heard. So
well,
best
wouldn't
I can
you follow up like somebody tells you have this rare disease?
You're one out of 150 people in North America, and you never follow up.
I didn't know how to follow. I was 25. I didn't know how to follow up with a hospital.
An hour ago, you said my life was in shambles until I was 25, and then I figured it all out.
No, I said I figured out that life doesn't get better. And I'm not just waiting for something great to happen.
I guess I'm just going to have measles forever.
Oh, man. Okay.
A complicated and multifaceted.
Whole human.
Have the courage to look within. A soul defined. Take the time to know yourself. Be proud of being a multi-human. All things human are fluid and on a spectrum. You don't have to separate your parts. Feel free to immerse in and express all
what
parts
is this?
Of your identity.
This is Alec and Hilaria Baldwin. And their kids, they're 9 of them, I guess, and they have a new baby on the way, and this is their gender reveal, and all the kids going down to, like, age 3 are all saying things like, you might be gender fluid, you might be on the spectrum, you might this, everyone's okay, don't let anyone tell you who you are. All wonderful sentiments that I agree with, but here's what I just find so cringe. First of all, shut up. You just killed someone, like, 2 days ago. Shut up. In general, go away. But also this, I don't want 3- and 4-year-olds parroting social issues. I want 4-year-olds figuring out how to poop in the toilet. I want them into sea turtles and eating dirt and stuff like that. There's a time and place to shape values. And look, we're a very liberal family and we believe this. We're a very conservative family and everything's about Jesus and rules and blah, blah. Raise your kids the way you want. But when you put it out there for the world, expect someone like Dave Glover to say, stop it. Anyone agree, disagree? It's like there's a big difference between me and Phoebe talking about social issues and putting a camera in front of a 3- or 4-year-old and saying, tell your almost born sister that she might be on the spectrum. I just find that really distasteful.
Yeah, I think the script is the part that is... Yes. Weird. It's not like it's like speak from the heart, honey. Like you're 18 months old.
Because they just
really
pick
talk.
Their nose and go and like, just, I like boogers.
It's for attention for the parents.
Yeah, and as you touched on, like the last thing that he should be after right now, Mr. Baldwin, is
attention.
Like just like we've said a million times, you need to just go away and never speak again because you killed someone on a movie set, like accident or whatever. You killed somebody. You need to just.
I've told this story before. I used to have, he passed away, but I had this super fan listener, super conservative, who would come to every event I had and bring his like 8-year-old son. And this guy was a dork, his son was a dork, and he would always say, like, you want to meet the most conservative 8-year-old in the world? And I'd be like, I don't want to meet any conservative 8-year-olds. I don't want any 8-year-olds being conservative or liberal or anything. I want them to, you know.
Be a kid.
Be a kid.
Because it's all a show. They're just repeating what mommy or daddy said. They don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah. I mean, personalizing it as a kid, you know, when you'd have to go through all of those things at your CCD class or in Catholic schools or whatever, you don't really know what you're saying. You're just repeating what you were told
like
to repeat.
Like your catechisms and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, right. Like I didn't understand those things until much later, probably more towards like confirmation age, you know, like 7th and 8th grade. I'm sort of like, oh, okay. So now I know what that means. I've been saying it mindlessly for 8 or 9 years.
That's how they
train exactly
us,
what's
Wheeler.
Happening. Well, I mean, it is normal. It's just not normal to be like, hey, show everybody in the world that we can make you repeat
a
sentence.
Let me just kick him one more time. As Rage pointed out when we were playing in the office, evidently his wife is now Spanish again. Like, she was Spanish.
She's back at it with the accent.
I couldn't hear her. Was she on there?
Oh, okay. Yeah. She was using the accent. It's like, honey, you got caught on this one.
Give it up.
You got to respect them for just doing whatever they want,
oh,
though, you know?
Lord.
On one hand, it's like, hey, good
respect
for you guys.
Respect them on one hand, smack them with the other.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.